So again, right? So the Gemara brings all these different discussions about the Amaras. Again, both the halachic discussions and the discussions of Mutl Nachro Biyom Gimur Shechaliyot B'Shabbat. And then the discussion of ripping the Amaretz open like a fish. And then Rabbi Akiva saying how much he hated Amaretz when he used to, Talmid Chacham, when he used to be Amaretz, and he used to say, please give me a Talmid Chacham so I can bite him like a donkey. And his Talmidim said, why a donkey? Why don't you bite him like a dog? And he said, no, because dogs don't break bones when they bite, but donkeys do. And then the Gemara says, I don't know, I've never been bitten by that donkey or a dog, thank God. And then the Gemara, right, goes on and says, yes, and if we didn't need Amaretz or Amaretz didn't need us or whatever, they would kill us all. Wonderful stories going on there in the Gemara. Great shtick. Great, great, great. So we noted that, okay, if we want to understand this Gemara, we need to try to figure out what are the ways in which we could interpret it. So in theory, if you really wanted to, you could take it as literal. But of course, no, right? yeah, we didn't really, you know. So if you remember from last time, what directions did we take in terms of dealing with the sources? By the way, Ezra, you can see. Are there any people who don't realize that we're in here? Like, can you see people in the dining room that normally come? Okay, I'll give you.
We said it could be metaphorical.
Right, so we talked about it could be metaphorical.
It could also just be exaggerated.
It could be exaggerated. It could be that it depends on what Amaretz we're talking about. Yeah. It could be that it's very specific situations. Right, all of these would give us the directions to solve this.
Rebbe Weiss, I staked out a seat in the other room.
Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, but before we do that, we'll read what? There are four double-sided pages. Yes, sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I just someone could have volunteered to staple it. I don't know what to tell you, okay? Now, before we go to the answers, I want you just to see one more Gemara that's very relevant for the Rishonim when they tried to deal with this, and that is the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Chaf Bet, where the Gemara says that the Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosi mibnei ma kol ne'emanin al taharat yayin v'shem and kol yimara shana. Why is it that we trust anybody about the purity of wine and oil throughout the year? Kidei shelo yeh kol echad v'echad holechu v'oneh bama la'atzmo. So that everybody doesn't go and build their own bama. V'soreif paraduma la'atzmo. Right? We need to have a certain bait, right? Because if we didn't believe people, they would just give up on the system and make their own system. And Amar Rav Papa Kiman Mekablinon Ha'idna Sahaduta Me'Amaretz. According to whom do we accept the testimony of Amaretz? Kiman Kirbi Yosi, like this statement of Rabbi Yosi. Now that Gemara is relevant because in our Gemara it assumes that we don't. Very good. Right. So therefore that provides another source for us to try to figure out. Well, that's going to help us try to figure out: are we dealing with different Amaretz, or maybe there's a machloket? Okay, so what I did in these sheets is, as you can see, randomly, I put little one-line titles where you can see the directions that are taken in Rishonim, so you can understand, and even if we don't read all of them, I try to categorize the Rishonim and the Achronim and how they deal with the problems, okay? So
there's a whole bunch of pieces of paper on the table. Which pieces are source sheets? Who knows?
The ones that are in tiny font and...
yeah, exactly. Those. Those. Yeah, yeah. There are 8 pages of 4 pages double-sided. I have 8 pages.
Yeah, there's 4 double-sided.
Yes, 4 double-sided. I don't know what to tell you.
I only have 3.
Oh!
4?
Yes. Okay. What... 33, correct. It goes till 33.
When you get there,
we'll get there. Okay. So the first derech that I want to examine are the Shitot who take all these Gemara and they say, more or less, this Gemara is somewhat literal, but, big but, in order for it to be literal, it's literal only in a context in which we limit the type of Amaretz that it's talking about. And we exacerbate the crime that the Amaretz is performing that justifies the extreme measures, which means that the measures are indeed as extreme as they are. Some are justified perhaps in their almost literal form, but we're not talking about your normal run-of-the-mill person who, you know, happens to not know Shas by heart. Rachman al-Islam, lo aleinu, that there should be such a person in the world. Lo aleinu. We're not talking about such a person whose only sin is that they don't know Shas by heart. You know, all that stuff. We're talking about something else yesterday.
What about the comment made by the rabbi of wanting to kill the Amoraim and rabbis?
Rabbi Kiva, you mean Rabbi Kiva saying that when he was on Amoraim, he wanted to kill the rabbis?
Oh, I thought there was the opposite. Like, he wanted to kill the Amoraim's rabbis.
No. He wanted to kill the rabbis.
Oh,
like, because right. The Gemara was just showing how mutual it was. So don't worry, they hate us as much as we hate them.
Oh, okay.
So it's all good or bad. I don't know. So, yes, Josh.
So according to these explanations,
I haven't seen the explanations
okay,
yet.
According to this title, I think people would have been left in the risk of the worst.
According to this title? You're being medayic in my title?
Yeah.
My titles are short so that I could get, so I could condense this to 8 pages.
But would they say yeah. Rabbi Akiva is whatever?
Does somebody actually believe that it's literal and only talking about a few amount
no.
of people?
No. Oh, a few amount of people. Yeah, a few people, yeah.
Like that, there
amount?
That actually
okay, pause. Because this is the second time today I've heard this mistake. God, do you guys know the difference between amount and number? You're killing me. Amount and number. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yes, like many and much. Exactly. Amount and number. Amount is like a pound. If it's, there aren't an amount of Ame Haaretz, right? I mean, unless, you know, whatever.
Like, blended
yes, Amaretz. Exactly. Except it's, yes, exactly. A number is a, right.
Unless you look
right, okay.
It makes them Amaretz protein drink.
But yeah. No, exactly, right? So one derech is to say, listen, the severity is literal here, but we're not talking about the run-of-the-mill Amaretz or the run-of-the-mill crime of not knowing enough Torah.
It just doesn't seem like what the Gemara is talking about. It talks about Amaretz, it doesn't
matter. Look, I understand that. But the names that go in this camp are, shall we say, important. They include people like the Riff. These aren't like, so let's look. Okay, and Tosfot. So Tosfot number 3. Nir Lari, Dila'el, Mayri, Bimakir, Vikofer, Lahachis. Right? Right off the bat, he says, this is limited to what? People who know God and go against him, or deny him, not because they don't believe him, but to make him angry. Dahavile harigato kimo pikuach nefesh. And therefore, killing him is an issue of pikuach nefesh, shuhu listin, because he is a thief, v'chashur al hadamim, and we suspect that he is going to murder. Di'ilav achi heyach muta lahargo b'yom ha'kippurim shechaliyo b'shabbat, because otherwise, how could you say you can kill him? You can give her a holy on Shabbat. So he says, Tosfot said, listen, it's literal. When it says kill him on Yom Kippur, on Shabbat, it means it. It means a murderous, thieving, highway robber, whatever, right?
Who knows God
and is doing this just to spite God. That person is a dangerous person, so eliminate him.
If you're not already like, it's like, what's the finish? If someone's trying to kill you, then you can.
Because you might think that that's only when it's not Yom Kippur that Shabbos, because maybe then, you know, you're only violating the Isur, that you're only violating Ritzicha to prevent other Ritzicha, but maybe you can't also violate an Isur Stila plus Shabbat. I don't know. Probably something like that, right? Mistama, you know. I don't know, or maybe you think it's a kiyum in Yom Kippur. I'm eliminating evil from the world. I don't know. Okay, the Gemara, it's dramatic effect. But Tosfot says it's literal. Sure, it's literal for a very specific type of murderous highway robber, rebel against God. That person, yes.
How do we arrive at the conclusion because he wants to upset God, he's going to do something against his fellow man?
I don't know. We got to that conclusion. That's the reality that Tosfot is positing.
I mean, I just.
That's what he's saying this Gemara is about.
I guess
a God who hates. That's because you live in the 21st century when it isn't assumed that to be religious is to be moral, and to be not religious is to be implicitly giving up on the moral system.
No,
right?
I agree with that. I agree with that, but...
No, I'm saying for most of history, like, for example, the founding fathers in America, even though most of them were deists, or many of them were deists, they believed that it was important for religion to exist because they thought you couldn't have a society without religion, because if you didn't have religion to encourage people to be moral, then no amount of law, right? Or no number of laws, or no amount of law. If you think about like a pound of law, I don't know, right? A pound or two of law isn't going to help.
But
right?
It seems like what Tolstoy is saying is because he's a coper, he wants to anger God. So seemingly the best way to do that would be like, you know, flicking on a couple lights, light bulbs on Shabbos, not going out and killing Ezra. I mean, like, yeah, either one's going to get
look, God will be very upset.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, either way, God's going to be upset. Like, I don't know, but like, one's a bit
of okay, but this is what Tolstoy posits, right? That he's the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. Mikol HaBchinot. Yes, Josh.
So according to Tosfos, would Rabbi Akiva be like, you know, before he was
maybe.
Rabbi was like a murderer, Goslin.
We'll see. We're going to get to Rabbi Akiva, but sure, I don't know. The riff as well, number four. The riff says, so the riff comes to this a little bit more formally. Not just, how could we say we could kill people? The Gemara says you could kill him. What's the problem? No, right? He says, I have a bigger problem. And that is, it's a stira on the sudya. You know, like here you're saying, kill him. He's not trustworthy. Don't do the angels. And in Chagigo, it says that's subject to machloikas of Yoisi and the Chachomim. I mean, you know, like I there's a tension in the sugya here, right? That's his problem. Not Rudy's faces that he made throughout us reading the Gemara. It's like, no. Like in the sugya, it doesn't matter. I don't have any problem in the sugya, no. He said, look, when Rabbi Yossi says that you can accept Eidah from Aretz, that's a different one. Diluhatam, when we say that an Amaretz is Ama Aretz, but you can't accept his testimony, or maybe according to Rabbi Yossi, you can. That's an Amaretz, the letter bit mikro of a Mishnah. That's an Amaretz, you know, he just doesn't know Torah. He doesn't know Tanakh, Rachman al-Itzlan. He doesn't know Mishnah, Rachman al-Itzlan. That doesn't happen to anybody. Nobody here. That's never. What? I will be derech eretz uve mitzvot ite. But derech eretz mitzvot, he does. Kigon delo chashir ashruata. We're not worried that he's going to make a false vow. Va'agaz lanuta. We're not worried he's going to steal. V'lo chada anpe ma'anpe pas lanuta. And nothing else that invalidates him. Aval am aretz dehacha. Dechashir acholhani damran. Dechashir al-gneva. So he said, but this one, so he steals, and that's why we say we don't set him as a guardian over the money for orphans. And he also is suspect of being a murderer. And that's why when the Gemara says, don't travel with him on the way, that's good advice if you think he's going to murder you. That's who we're talking about. And he's suspect of a riot. And now, wait, who asked me why Yom Kippur on Shabbat? You asked me, right? Probably asked me. Who asked me? David? David asked me, what's the relevance of Yom Kippur? He says, watch this move. This is the riff. I would not believe it was the riff, but it's the riff. He says, the case is only someone who is either trying to rape another man, or a Naira Hamurasa, right, a betrothed woman, B'Yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, Shemutur L'Hatzilo B'Nafsho, and you're allowed to save him. That's the only case we're talking about. And that's what it's saying, that on Yom Kippur, when these murderous Amaretz, who also wants to be involved in rape of either another man, or Enara Hamurasa, because that's how bad this guy is, right? That's what he's doing on Yom Kippur, Shechal Yom Kippur Shabbat.
Right?
What?
You're saving his soul, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But not his life.
You're saving his soul, right, by killing him. And saving his victim at the same time. It's an intentional ambiguity in the sugya in Sanhedrin. What? As the Rama, the Yad Rama points out there, that's an intentional ambiguity. Yes, Ezra.
So what about the shkita thing? I mean, it's not a halacha that you make a bracha when you chant the person.
Yeah, so that's probably rhetoric. I agree with you. That's probably a rhetorical flourish. So that Imkvar... you're right. What he should have said is the guy is running to rape someone. You're going to wait to find your shkita knife.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, right? No, you get your throwing star, you know? Right.
So that was my question. Why
does
it say specifically chef? Like, if you're running, can you just kill the guy?
Because well, stab him. Right? Or rip him open like a fish. That's the other option. Very good. Very good. What? Yeah. So? Like this Amaretz? I don't know. How many people do you know who are murderers, thieves, and chase after people to rape them on Yom Kippur on Shabbos?
How many guys are in
there? That was good!
That was horrible. Okay.
No.
Right? So this is one derech. Right? One derech to deal with this is to basically say, listen, it's basically literal, with maybe a little bit of rhetorical flourish, but only if you limit it to, you know, the most heinous of crimes by the worst of human beings you can possibly imagine. That's what we mean by Amar. It's not uneducated. We mean, I mean, literally, you hear what the Rift limited it to, right? A murderous, thieving, rapist on Yom Kippur, which is on Shabbos. Yes, and not regular rape, specifically either Rodef al HaZachar or Rodef al HaNara Mu'urasa B'Yom HaKippurim Shekaliyot B'Shabbat, right? Very, very specific. While eating pig, while, you know...
So it's something that's never going to happen. So
I don't know, yeah?
So he's really not taking it literally. He's just taking one side literally, but not the other. He's
correct, meaning not exactly right. Meaning he's taking the extremeness basically literally, but he's limiting it to a very specific case. Right, it's not literal, right? Obviously not. That's what I said. It's literal in the sense of the consequences, but he's talking about a very specific amaretz with very specific crimes. Now, if you look through, just give me 1 second, Mordechai. Right now. You'll look. Now, obviously, to less extremes. Guys. So, obviously, in the later parts of the sugya, where it talks about killing an Amaretz on Yom Kippur Shekaliyot B'Shabbat, the Amaretz that you're looking for, it's very extreme. But, as we noted, that same methodology can be used in the earlier parts of the Gemara, right? So, when the Gemara says that you can't marry an Amaretz, right? Or a Talmud Chacham can't marry an Amaretz, or an Amaretz can't marry a Kohen, and all those... right, discussions. There, you also could limit that, right? You could do the same strategy where, say, it literally means that an Amaretz and Talmud Chacham can't marry, but it's only a certain type of Talmud Chacham and a certain type of Amaretz, right? But if it's a different type of Amaretz or a different type of Talmud Chacham, again, without going this extreme, right? So, for example, if you look in the Maharil in number 5, so if you just look 3 lines from the bottom, again, I'm not going to read all this, but he's talking about the prohibition of marrying, right, the Amaretz. And then 3 lines from the bottom, at the end, he says, Mikol makom rof pamim ein Amaretz gamur. V'chol hani dileal afal gav, yuzud mitzvah neyesh ledakdik mimezev sham kanchi yushalayim, v'zimnin yesh reikim v'pochazim. Right, he says, look, there, when we say don't marry the Amaretz, again, it means a total Amaretz. Right, now there, obviously... a total Amaretz. Whatever that is. No, probably not. He's saying a total Amaretz you shouldn't. But if someone... he doesn't know Shas Baal Peh. Okay, but he knows Shas. Just not by heart.
But not everyone, all of us then.
I'm making half a joke. I'm not totally sure how much I'm joking. No, I'm not sure how much. No, like you're dealing with someone... he's not a Talmud Chacham, he's not a Maritz, right? Meaning he doesn't know Kol HaDerech Kulo, but he learns every day, you know, he's a good Jew, whatever, yeah. So he says, that's not what we're talking about. Now, obviously, that's less extreme. To say that Talmud Chacham shouldn't marry the Amoritz, that's not like saying you have to kill him, but he follows the same strategy, which is to say, well, that Isser is also limited. It literally means an Amoritz, Talmud Chacham shouldn't marry, but it means a certain type of Talmud Chacham, a certain type of Amoritz, right?
What
not
a certain type of Talmud Chacham.
So there, it might be, it's a pure Amoritz, and, you know, maybe with a high-level Talmud Chacham or whatever.
What are they trying to do a mitzvah to learn more?
Bad idea to get married. Okay, rule in life. Bad idea to marry Lashem Kirov. That's not a word. No, it's bad amara. It's in the sugyas in general. Right, and if you look, Baruch Hashem. I understand. What's wrong with that? Look, this is when I was dating. This is one of the things that I noticed. Right, because like, you know, when I was dating, so like. You know, there are different communities have different standards. So if you're learning, you're a smicha student, you know, you're even decent at learning, right? So in the yeshivish world, even decent, right? Whatever, you know how to learn, okay, whatever. So like, if I was a little bit more yeshivish, or,
you are.
Okay, fine. I'll put it differently.
How does being more yeshivish make you?
I'll put it differently. The people who were yeshivish, even before I was dating, right? The svara was, who should I marry? No, it's set him up either with, right? Either someone rich or the boss, Talmud Chacham, right? Right? And I had some very awkward situations like that. I wasn't like where people literally were visiting for Shabbos at my parents' shul when I happened to give a shir, and.
So they could try to set you up?
No, and then they're like, I heard the shear. I was so impressed. I have someone to set you up. I'm not dating. I don't want to. So she didn't take note of for an answer. She went to my mother, who gave her my phone number. Next thing I know, I get a call, right, that she's already spoken to the father, who's a Rosh Yeshiva somewhere. So, you know.
And that kid's
how
I met your mother.
What? Oh, no, I ended up meeting this woman many years later. And she was like, I remember when I tried to, you know. Anyways, I meet her a lot, actually. It's
so
very funny.
You said if they're learning, what if it's a reform
no.
rabbi?
No, so that's one svara, but, no, so my point was, that so what Kobe is saying is, but what if she knows Torah? That was my svara when I was getting married, was, look, if I was more yeshivish, I get it. You either marry the rich person, you marry the daughter of the Rosh Yeshiva, I understand, but like, I believe women can learn, so I just married Ara instead, right? Like, so I married Ara, and I became a kolel husband because I was still in college, and like, you know, and Ara was learning in kolel, so we lived off of kolel, you know. And she had, Kachaza, I became a kolel husband. You know, the benefits of being modern Orthodox. You can be a kolel husband. Yalla, no. What? Very good. What?
Affected by her father?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's the assumption, right? Look, is it possible you'll find an educated woman even in that time? Yeah, right. There's a famous story which may be apocryphal. I'm not really sure about the Taz and the Bach, right? Because the Taz is famously the son-in-law of the Bach, right? You know this, right?
Of course,
you knew this. The Taz is the son-in-law of the Bach, but the apocryphal story, which I have no way, Joey, which I have no way of knowing whether it's true or not, was that the way he ended up marrying the Bach's daughter was. That he was learning by the Bach, right, by Rabbi Yol Sirkis, and they got to some sugya and it quoted some pasuk in Tanakh, and they just like, obviously they were all a bunch of rabbis and no idea Tanakh, and he's like, wait, my daughter knows Tanakh, because apparently his daughter knew Tanakh really, really well, and she came in and she's like, oh yeah, of course it's a pasuk in da 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 da, right, and apparently the Bach went on, oh, my daughter, you're so amazing. You shine, Kizohar Harakia, right? Whatever. No, Kizohar Harakia. You're like, you're radiant. You're radiant, like, but his daughter, right?
His
daughter, yeah. You're radiant like the Levana, right? Like the moon. And apparently, as the story goes, the Taz said to the Bach, can I be Mekadesh the Levana? That's the story of how it goes. I don't know whether it's true, right? Can I be, right? And you said, can I be Mekadesh the Levana? Right? Can I be Mekadesh the Levana? Right? So,
I don't know if it's true. Anyways, so yeah, that's a. There you go.
One-liners aren't typically towards the dad, though.
Fun. Anyways, out. Okay, guys. But you'll see that in terms of marrying the Bas Kohen, the Maram Shix is the same thing in six, right? That nowadays, right? That nowadays, our Tamidi Chachamim may not be Tamidi Chachamim, but our Ame Aret, but he's not really an Ame Aret, right? There are middle categories, and you got to understand that at least on the marriage, once again, it literally means that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't marry an Amoretz, but it has to be the right time of Talmud Chacham and the right time of Amoretz. And nowadays, we don't have the right time of Talmud Chacham, we don't have the right time of Amoretz. So these Yisurim don't really apply, right?
Amoretz.
You have some. You have some. And that's what the Rabbi Omer says. Very good.
You're saying we have some in your Migdal?
Very good. That's what the so you were Mechavid, Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya, number 7, says, look. Right, and Rav Avadya says in terms of those Yisurim, again, under normal circumstances, you can be Mekil, because you can assume that yes, a Talmid Chacham can't marry an Amoret, but again, we're not our Talmid Chacham aren't the Talmid Chacham of the Gemara, and our Amoret are at least somewhat educated. But he says in the second line, Lagabe Chofshim Arishayim Nimtzam Bezman Hazeh. But if the question is to marry a Kohen to someone who is the Chofshim Harishayim, right? The free thinkers who are evil, right? Who, whatever he's going to put in them. So that is the Amoretz, right? So he says, and similarly in the Divrei Yatziv, right? You can look at it as well. Who goes at this at length, but that's the methodology. Again, I gave you this for you to read yourself, but you understand that it's the same methodology in the first half of the Gemara, even though it's less extreme. Right there is just saying you shouldn't marry the Talmud Chacham Dam Aretz, and there you might say, well, you know, that's literal, and that includes any Am Aretz of any standard. The answer is no. Once you start thinking that this Gemara, right, different lines apply to different standards of Am Aretz, you can do the same thing and say, listen, yes, they shouldn't get married, but that depends on what type of Talmud Chacham you're talking about, what type of Aretz you're talking about. Now, Rabbi Yashiv just notes in 9 that whether we should apply the same analysis to the first half of the sugya, the second half of the sugya, hangs on whether the Gemara, by saying you shouldn't marry an Amoretz or a Bat Amoretz, is really saying don't marry an Amoretz or don't not marry a Bat Talmud Chacham. Right? Meaning that this whole analysis, that the second half, just like the second half of the sugya, you can read it as a very specific type of Amoretz, assumes that the requirement isn't to marry a Talmud Chacham, it's just to not marry an Amoretz, because then you could say, well, don't marry an Amoretz, and therefore, as long as you're slightly beyond that Amoretz, it doesn't count. But that's not 100% clear. And again, I just gave you a bunch of sheetot where you can see this.
Wait, what is this? Sorry, is this like saying it's usher for you to marry? It's like usher.
Yeah. Yeah. Unclear. We talked about this 2 days ago for those of us who were here, who weren't on the Tiol, but I can't rehash it. I'm very happy you're on the Tiol. I just can't rehash a share of over an hour. I mean, I can, but then how would I do this share? So I just can't. Yeah. Okay, and I gave you a bunch of other sources that go in this direction. If you look at the Haggad Yavetz, quoting Zivri Chassidim, he also takes this extreme view that, again, the key here is to limit the Amoretz we're talking about. So near Shemitzido Mefarish Mesever Chasidim Kishiroshev Amoretz Beyom Kippurim Achri Yehudi Chaver Lahargo. Right, that the case here is only where the Amoretz is chasing the guy on Yom Kippur to kill him. Now, what's the obvious question on this read? Right, that's what we have to solve. There's one problem left to solve, which is, okay, fine. I understand the Gemara. The reason you're allowed to kill him is because he's going to kill someone in Yom Kippur. Great. The obvious question is, yeah, what's the chiddush? If it was a Talmud Chacham, you would also have to kill him, right? If for some reason the Rosh Yeshiva went, you know, the Gadol Hador went crazy on Yom Kippur and said, that's it, 75 years, it's enough, that's it. Right? Right? And no, you would also have to kill the man, right? I mean, very good. So more or less, right? More or less, Sefer Chasidah v'chimat tamvazem lo mishum demayim matzah near the Shabbat me'achor shalro devekar migabo shalacharav v'im tomar yachi ma'ik pashman blaha. He says, if that's the case, what's the chiddush? Kol ro devnami u'mayir yamaretz says yesh lomar, as Kobe said, divit stam ro dev im yicholum lahatzil lo ro dev near davech. So possibly one is, do you have to save him be'achad me'evarav? So with the Sefer Chasidim is mechadesh. Yeah, by trying to save him by like breaking his leg. So he says, Talmud Chacham, you'd try to save him by breaking his leg. Big deal, right? Just you know, you could kill him. That's quite a chiddush. Now, I guess I put this later on. Other people say that no, it's a question of Don Lakaschut, right? Where the Amaretz, you know, once he's chasing, he really wants to kill him. Whereas, okay, fine. So that's positive. That's Derech 1. Okay? Derech 2. What's Derech 2? Exaggeration. Okay? Derech 2 is, don't tell me that it's literal, but only the right time of Or Ma'aretz and the right time of Talmud Chacham. No! This Gemara, guys, the Gemara, this is, it's exaggeration. Now, how does he get into exaggeration? So again, the same way that the Rif does, right? You would think that everyone would get into this sugya by saying, the amazing thing, the Ramban is so not bothered by the sugya on its own term, he doesn't even comment on the sugya in Psachim. It's an afterthought in the sugya in Chagiga because the stira of the Kabbalah Eidut thing. In Chagiga, he's like, oh yeah, the Eidut thing. Right, by the way, now I have to wait on the Sugya Pesachim. Right? It's very funny to see that they're not like so bothered by it that like Al HaMakom, they have to say, no, it doesn't mean that. It's like, I found another Sugya. Kasha. I don't know. Right, so the Ramban there says, so Ramban says on the Eidut thing, Peirush Rashi's al nir v'nachal l'viyah Sugya, and right, so Rashi says that min hadin you aren't allowed to accept, and the question is, do we need their abundant and accept them even though they're really puzzle to prevent hatred? That's how Rashi understands the machloket. Right, so he says, that what it means in the Gemara when it's in the Kablin is that we don't accept lechatchila. Like, really, he's kasher, but we don't want to accept him. But if he does come, then we will accept him. Like, will we push him away? Right, that's how he deals with it. As long as he has Amaretz. And then he quotes the Rif, who says, no, it's very simple. When we say we accept him, it's someone who's not educated. When we say we don't accept him, it's evil, like the evil person, right? As opposed to Rashi, who says, no. Again, you're allowed to be the Avad, you're allowed to accept him. Lechatchila, you avoid it. Right? So then he keeps going and he quotes the Rif, right? Who again says it depends which Amaretz. So then in the bolded parts, Ramban says, I got a different solution for you. No, it's the same Amaretz in both Gemaras. And what the Gemara is saying in one place, L'chadchila, you don't accept him as a just the Avad, it works. So why would you say you can stab him in Yom Kippur, Shchalit, B'Shavad, right? This is just someone who isn't educated. U'bevadai, Shadavar Guzma. Thank you. It's an exaggeration. We're not actually telling you can murder. Thank you. In case you were worried, he's like, and if you do kill him, you are liable for the death penalty. Like, I'm really telling you, you can't kill him. I'm not sure this is going to make Rudy happy. He says, so what is the point of this? Now there's a deep meaning. Tamid Chacham legitimately hated the Amei Aretz. So, they exaggerated because they hated them. That's what I mean when it says rip them open like a fish. And he said, obviously, in a hit Isser Beheter,
right? In terms of whether it's murder, there's no difference whether you use a sword or you rip them open like a fish. But if you're trying to express how much you hate somebody, he's like, there is a difference to saying cut off their head and saying shred them from the back like a fish. You know, one of those gets across your emotions just a little bit better, right?
One of them is written through like grit teeth.
Yes. Tear them limb from limb. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what it is.
So why do they hate them?
Because they're bums.
They're
peasants.
They're not the ones who are...
They're the ones who are at fault.
Yes. Sorry, Kobe. But what you said before, which is... Right? I realized what I did. I should have moved it up, but it was already in their own bond. So who's the one going back who says it's literal, but explains why it's only the Amaretz, because only he's suspect? That's where Shreiru going. It's not like some random guy, right? The Shita that says, no, it's literal, but only the Amaretz. Are you worried he's actually going to commit murder? That's Rav Shreira. So if you look at Rav Shreira, so shuv matzati b'tshuvat Rav Shreira gon, right? I found in the tshuvat of Rav Shreira shuhu mamash b'ro devachar azachor. Klomar oylo lamare shepamim sheburot shelo goremet lo mita. What the Gemara is really saying is woe to the Amaret, because sometimes his stupidity leads to his death. B'mita minuvelet, in a horrible death. The inborin lo mita yafe, jaru gebeitin. Says, Rodef, you don't even like wait to give him a good death, right? If someone's put to death in court, we try to do it as civilized as possible. But when someone's trying to murder someone, whatever works. Kamoshi is damein. She imiyotom evil lifamim lorutz achar nayer morasa feel beyond a given shachali yom shabbos, because he's such a low life that it brings him on Yom Kippur to decide instead of going to Ne'ilah, he's going to find specifically a nayer morasa, right?
Wait, so he has to know that the nayer morasa.
What?
The
Tipshoto Gomerlo, and he said the whole point of this is that yes, some people are so stupid that yeah, they end up being involved in horrible crimes at the worst possible of times. Why is it relevant to some aretz? Because he also happens to not know the punishment for doing what he's doing. No, he doesn't realize that now they could kill him. And when the Gemara says he's not allowed to eat meat, Klomar. Right, so remember that one, he can't eat meat. He says, yeah, because oilo, shepamim sheishlo behemot, vofodu osur behen, kishain lo mishiyishchor, viyivdok viyinkar, because he's an idiot. There's no one a shech, there's no one around. What's going to do? And he might eat it. Treif, av basar dagim lo amar. And that's why it says he's allowed to, it doesn't say he's not allowed to eat fish, because fish you don't need shechita.
That is true.
Right? That's the Ria Barceloni. You get a similar position in the Ritva. Right? Right, where he also quotes the Rif and the Gaonim. Right, so the Ritva actually has both. He both says it depends on the Amaretz, right, and it depends on the crime, right. So he mentions both. The Ron, give me 1 second. The Ron suggests that maybe this is the Rif really means also, right? That the Rif is the same, right? He thinks the Rif actually isn't separate than Ramban. He thinks that. Right, because we present them as different. The Rif says it's literal, but for certain types of crimes, and the Ramban is saying it's an exaggeration. The Ron actually suggests that, no, those are the same thing, right? That by being able to construct a particular type of case in which you would kill the Amaretz, right, we don't literally mean that, right? The point is exaggeration, right? You come up with a case in which it would be true, but that's not the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is Ki'ilu. Yes, Joe.
Wouldn't that bring about possible not for me if he doesn't know it's an Amarasa, though?
Yeah, potentially.
Okay, so
that's the point, right?
What are we supposed to do with that?
Kill him. Right?
But he doesn't know it's an Amarasa.
Yeah, but he's about to rape her.
But theoretically...
But you have to stop him.
According to this case...
No, that's exactly his point. He doesn't understand the consequence. He doesn't understand, but he's put himself in that situation. That's the point. Is that he is victimized, right? She is a victim, and you need to protect her, right? And
so according to his logic, we're defending the victim.
Correct.
Okay.
So though that's clearly part of this, right? I mean, Matzil Menafsho is inherently ambiguous for that reason. Yeah. Now, obviously, I showed you already in the Ritva combination. The Meiri systematically combines these in 16. Where he both... So, for example, if you look... he both says derech tzachut amru, right? That some of this is just, you know, exaggeration. So, for example, on the not eating meat, he says, look,
Kama Sveikot Mizdamna B'Shechita. There's so many halachot around Shechita. So if you're not Amoreit, it just means you're not going to be able to eat meat. Right? It doesn't mean literally to us you'd meat. Derech Tzachot, it's like, it's an exaggeration, it's an expression. Right? So on that line, right, I'm not eating meat, he thinks it's an exaggeration. It means.
What?
Yeah, he's saying he can't eat meat. What does it mean he can't eat meat? It means like there's going to be a lot of cases where he can't eat meat because he's going to have an animal and he's not going to know what to do with it. And da, da, da.
Isn't there a market back then or does everyone have to check their own animal?
It could come up. He's saying not everywhere. You're right. It could be there's a good shochet. It'll be fine. But sometimes it won't. Whatever.
But then in the next line, one second. I'm Aretz Bamim Shemutlo Nach Rafi Yom Kippur Yom Shchalit B'Shabbat. Shere Eino Yodea B'Tivan Shel Mitzvot B'Darkei Adadot B'Nim Shach Archar Tivo K'Behimah. Because he doesn't know Darkei Adatot. What is Darkei Adatot? This is very important in the Me'iri. The way of religion. Right? Me'iri famously in 140 some odd places has a chiddush that when the Gemara says all the bad things it does about Ovdei Avodah Zarah, it only means ones who are not religious, right? But not ones who are religious. If they're gedurim begedrei adatot, if they are under religious law, then it doesn't apply to them. Yes, he says this very radically. What?
They're like their religion.
Yeah, he even says at one point that if a Jew apostatizes, right? So Moridin Lomalin is only if he gives up on any religion, but if he converts to another religion, takes on a religion. So it's bad, obviously, but he's not. He does not have the status of Moridin Lomalin. Yes, Miri is quite extreme about this.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. It's not like he says it once. He says it over 140 times.
Like any religion?
Yes. Yes.
Even a polytheistic one?
Yes. As long as it's not barbaric. It's Gedurim Gedred Dato. Possibly. What exactly Miri... Something like that. What exactly he means is complicated. Halbertal wrote an article on it, right? Clapper, a response to it that was nothing ever published
like
in the AJS. Long
say.
Story. Long story. Long story. Not for now, but the point is that he's bringing it up now, right? Is that this Amaretz is not Gidur B'Gidirei Adato, right? He's not religious, right? And therefore civilized. B'nimshach achar tivoke behema. So he follows his inclinations like an animal. And since he follows his animalistic desires, well, sometimes he runs after a man to rape him. Or after a woman who's betrothed. Right? So you see, right? And then his next possibility is, yesh mevarchim mitoch kach amaretz av shenehu b'derech emezu erba choshen rishu b'day delanos. Right? Next possibilities may be, like Rosh Aragon, is that if we see him, because he's that type of person, we have to be worried that he's going to rape in a way that in a Talmud Chacham we could give him the benefit of the doubt. Right? But what you see through the Me'iri, and then he says, v'derech tzachot v'haflagot dvar mamru. But it's an exaggeration. Right? So if you go through the Me'iri consistently, what you'll see is that it's a combination position. He thinks that part of this is an exaggeration, part of it is literal but under certain circumstances. Right? And that's what he says throughout. Okay? I don't think I need to flesh out. You can read the Me'iri to see how he fleshes out in each case, but obviously that's a logical place to go. It's some combination of a little bit of exaggeration and a little bit of limiting the halacha to specific situation. Let's say I have 5 minutes. So, okay, I think I could probably get one more derechen, and then we'll probably have to finish it off next week because, you know, the most complicated here and the most systematic is the metaphorical, which, as you can see, that's basically just the Maharal. Not just Maharal. He's the most systematic. I gave it to you. That takes up half these Makarot sheets, is the Maharal. The Marsha takes the approach that I would call localized metaphors, but it's metaphorical, but not like systematically metaphorical. Like, each thing is like a little bit metaphorical and makes a slightly broader point, which is slightly more than literal. Like, it's not a huge exaggeration, and it's not, right, a systematic metaphor. So, for example, look what he says. What does it mean you can't eat meat? For Amarim Mefarshim Tambazeh. So he said, the Mefarshim already say, well, you know, he's not going to be able to eat meat because he doesn't know the halachot. Umiyesh ledaktik, amai nakat basar behima ve'of, lo nakat nami dagim, ushar nevesh chayah. But why did it say animals and birds and not fish? Dichtive nami ba'ikrav, v'nir lefarsh devade ben noach, hutar lechol kol basar, dichtiv ki yerek edev natati lochem et kol. Noach was allowed to eat animals. El yisrosh givu atorah nitztavu lahavdil, Beinat Meir LaTorah, but Jews were commanded to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher animals. Valze Ramaz Bikra Zot Torat. The hain, and that's why in the context of kosher animals it says Zot Torat. The hainu ha'usik b'torah v'yodeh l'avdil beinat Meir LaTorah v'kol shari yisrim ha'nogim v'achil basar k'gon dam v'chelu v'basar v'chala v'gir ha'nasha huter lechol basar v'kol she'enu v'gir ha'chohani. Right, so what does he say? Right? It's like sort of metaphorical. It's literal, sort of. Meaning, non-Jews could eat any animals. Jews can only eat kosher animals. And, but the pasuk that talks about the difference in kosher and non-kosher is talking about animals and birds. And what it's really saying is that if you're the type of person that just doesn't know Torah and therefore doesn't know halacha, so then you don't, right? Only a Jew who knows Torah can therefore distinguish, right, can eat meat. But if you're non-Jewish, you can eat all meat. If you're Jewish, you know to distinguish, you can eat some meat. But if you're an Amaret, so then, you know, you can't, right? It's like, it's somewhat literal, maybe a little bit more than literal. I don't know if it's quite literal, right? It's saying that you haven't, right, quite lived up to being a Jew, but it's sort of also practical that you just don't know kashrus. That's what this means. What does Mutter L'Nachro B'Yom HaKippurim? He says, L'Chorahu Rachok Ben HaSeichel. This is crazy. Right, crazy. You can't stab him. Tafil Balei Chaim HaMazikin Roshal Argan B'Shabbat B'Yom HaKippurim. An animal who was bothering you on Shabbos, you couldn't kill. Right, to the Amorites, you can. I mean, come on. Right, you can't do that.
He's worse than an
Amorite. So he says, well, it says L'Nachro and not L'Hargo. She'kavanato b'zeh she'nechiro v'ashchita yiremez l'tila dam b'makom b'ir ashchita. Both Nechira and Shechita are at the same place. The only question is like this or like this, a stab or a slice. Retzalomer Shemutar. So he says, you're right, but it doesn't mean kill. It means to embarrass. Because the Gemara says that if you embarrass someone, it's like killing them because the blood drains from their face, right? And it means that you could cut them here, meaning make the blood drain from their face by embarrassing them. Little dumog, you mean azasum gavad chigura, right? Even right, because even though it's Yom Kippur, shechali b'Shabbat, shekol Yisrael yesh lem shalom zeim zeh. That's the day of shalom where everyone's getting along with each other. Still, mutter levayshel letkoti dimo, you can fight with him. V'amrleit, right? And when the talmidim say emr l'shochto, sheish, what were they saying? Shechtim, sheish bo yoter netil adam, because that takes out more blood, embarrass him more, right?
It's not just
killing. Right? Right? And he says, no, Nechira is more insulting because there's no bracha, which means you can really, really, right? What they were saying is, say shecht, which means drain the blood more from his face. He says, no, I'm saying stab because there's no bracha. It's just completely humiliating with nothing redeeming. That's the machlok, right? That's what it's saying, right? It's localized metaphors. It's saying, it doesn't mean, right? It's not a metaphor. This is not, right? It's like, and it's not exaggeration. It's like each one is a, I don't know what the right word is, symbolic. It's, you have to interpret it. Not like in broad sweeping things. Each thing, it means, right? The meat one means he doesn't really understand the difference between kosher and non-kosher. This one means embarrass him. You can't walk with him in the path. Well, there he says he really might kill you. And also, right, on the Rabbi Akiva thing. Right? Why would he bite him and break his bone? Right? He says, well, it means he was angry. And I wanted to hurt him a lot. Right? That's all it means, right? So each one, he says, like, it's a little bit of an exaggeration. It's a little bit of a metaphor. It's a little, right? Each one, localized, explain it. And he says, what does it mean that the Amaret is like a lion and he hits his wife? Well, that, he says, is literal. He says, yeah, well, he, marital rape. That he takes as literal. What does it mean? It's like Boal Arusato, okay, etc. I mean, you'll find directions like this as well. Rabbi Yashiv, for example, Rabbi Yashiv says, "What does it mean? You'll make your permission chalim b'Shabbat." Well, he says, "Well, the Gemara says that." This is a Gemara in Ketubot and Zirushalmi and Demai, that normally you're not allowed to ask an Amaretz about Demai, right, about Safek, whether something was given Truman Maaser, and you don't believe him, except on Shabbat. Because Eimat Shabbat Alav. Amaretz don't lie on Shabbat. Right? They're afraid of Shabbat, right? But the Rabbi Yashiv says, yeah, the point of this Gemara is that the such an Amoretz, right, he doesn't have Emet Shabbat. Right? And that's what the Gemara is trying to tell you, is that that type of Amoretz. So again, this is another strategy, which is, I would say, right, localized exaggerations, localized metaphors, right, each one you solve. Okay, so next week, and then we'll finish off these Amoretz, but I don't feel so bad. This is like, it's like a blot of Gemara, so whatever. We'll do two more things. We'll briefly look at what a mystical read would look like here in the Bedech Einayim. We will take up what a metaphorical read. We are not going to read the whole Maharal, but I do want you to see how the Maharal literally goes line by line and builds a systematic metaphor, not like localized things, but a systematic metaphor to explain the whole Gemara. And then the two other things I want to look at, if we have time, is the Rishonim are bothered by the Amoretz, the Rabbi Kiva part of the Gemara, because they said, was he really an Amoretz? Right? Even when he was Amoretz, we know he was from, he was good, Rachel saw him. Why is it told that he's this, you know, monster who wants to kill the Talmidei Chachamim? And talk a little bit about just the lost object case, because the lost object case is one of the most problematic lines here halachically. Right? What does that mean? I don't have to give, right? I don't have to give back his lost object, right? How does that fit into this whole sugya? So we'll deal with that, and then we can finally move on to another Agadata. But like I said, I thought you guys would have fun with this Agadata. I'm having fun with this Agadata. We'll finish that, and then we'll figure out. Guys, tell me what you know. Right, I gave you a list of different things
we're going to do.
So we'll do the demons at some point. The only reason I'm not going to do it right away is to spend so much time with demons last year in Brachot. What? So the main zug is actually here. One of them is here, right? The Zugo. But I don't think I'm going to do it right now. Just, guys, my preference when I finish this one is to not do another like multi-week right away. Let's do another like some shorter ones and breathe. I'm thinking maybe we'll do a lighter one and do some of the humorous Gemaras in Psachim and what the Gemara's view is on humor, because Psachim has a few key ones. Well, it has Chulda, but it's also Sigil later on. There's a bunch of them. I will see.